Grace and peace to you, and welcome back to Thirsty Thursday, a podcast here where we dive deep. We remember Isaiah 55:1, all who are thirsty come to the waters of life that God seeks to give. And so we're going to be diving into the abundant life that's found when living into the life of Jesus as we look at both 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. These are rarely looked at books from the Apostle Paul, but we want to make sure that we're paying attention to the whole of Scripture. And so I will be unpacking a little bit of this, and I pray that these times of podcasting, that they come to you where you are, and that they provide fuel and meaning for your life. Again, as we look at these podcasts, they're not intended to do everything, but they are meant to peel back some layers of the onion, to engage Scripture in a deeper way, but also to maybe do this with a friend and to connect in a small group by listening to this together and then asking some meaningful questions on the story and how it shapes and informs how you live today. And so today we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians, and I'm going to look at the first chapter and the first 10 verses. That's it. That's all we can get done in a short podcast. But to begin, I want to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 through 10. Here's the word. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell you how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. So 10 verses where Paul dives into the community there in this letter, reminding them of the call on their life, what God in Christ has been doing, and then pointing them forward into what is to come. As we look at 1 Thessalonians, it's important to remember that this most likely was the very first letter that Paul wrote. And the backstory from this comes from the book of Acts in chapter 17, where it tells that Paul and Silas are in this Greek city of Thessalonica. And after just 30 days of telling others about Jesus, there was a large number of Jews and Greeks who gave their allegiance to Jesus, and they formed the first church there. So this is Paul in the church growth movement of his day. He goes into a city with Silas and testifies to the power of Jesus, and a large number of people commit their life to Christ, and they form a faith community. Now, Paul's announcement that Jesus is the true Lord of the world, that led to some suspicion and accusations from others. Again, anytime we hear people accepting the message of Christ or giving their life to Christ, it doesn't mean that everyone is doing that. And so just as there were some giving their life in this way, being made new, professing Jesus as Lord, there were others that said, now wait, If you're professing that, then you're not being loyal to Caesar and the Roman Empire. And of course, what happens when you're not loyal to Caesar and the Roman Empire? Well, this leads to persecution. So Paul and Silas had to flee the city and the people that they loved, and this was painful. So later on then, Paul writes this letter to encourage them onward. And then Paul received word that they were doing really well, even in the face of their persecution. And so it was just simply a letter for onward encouragement. And then that's where we begin to read the letter and the words that we heard today. It begins to make a little more sense of where he picks up the story and how he engages. And I think we'd say at the beginning chapters of this letter that it's a celebration of faithfulness to Jesus. So like Paul so often does in his letters, he's writing about faith. He's writing about the love he has for community. He's writing about the hope that he has in Jesus. He also is, again, pointing to the difference that that makes in life and how it is that people live anew. And we're going to see that throughout his letter. And he will take on challenging topics that people would be facing. But as we look at these words, specifically around these beginning chapters, I want to point to this and as a theme for us. If you were to think back on how you became a follower of Christ, was that a long or short process? Who was involved in that journey? What different ways did God use to get your attention with the message of the gospel? Now, our story may be way different than Paul in a first century world going and testifying to the power of Jesus, where we have the luxury 2,000 years later of all kinds of resources and all kinds of stories, but these folks were first hearers of the story and their lives were changed. And I think in many parts of the world, that is still the case. Many of you won't know this, but we do a lot of ministry and outreach in India. And in the area that we are working in southern India, we've created these outreach centers for AIDS projects, for leper colonies to be served, for after-school sponsorship, for women's empowerment programs for jobs, working on programs to help with alcoholism in the family, and food programs, and all of these things. And we're partnering with local agencies to do that. But it comes with some persecution. Well, recently I looked up some stats in that area of the country, Andhra Pradesh, where Nellore City is, and where we have these outreach centers and churches, only 1.38% of the population is Christian. So every time we're out there doing these works that God has called us to love and serve people, those who are on the fringe of society, those who've been cast out or cast away, we're doing that in the name of Jesus, but we're not having to declare that up front, and we can't really declare that up front because of the persecution that's there, but we're paying attention to the needs, the hurts and hopes of the people. In so many ways, when only 1.38% of people in this massive population area know the story of Jesus, it's like first century Christianity. Legs are just getting underneath things. Lives are slowly being transformed. People are coming to know this God in the midst of all of the other religions and faiths that are already there. And so it looks and feels so much differently than in a place where it seems well-established and where people know. But again, where we live today, here in Federal Way, Tacoma, Seattle, Auburn, Kent, West Seattle, Fife, Milton, Olympia, Bonnie Lake, I could go on. All of these areas that people of our church make up from quite a distance. And now our city's reporting where only one out of every three have a living faith or participate in faith community. So these letters of Paul and how he writes for encouragement and how to pass on this mission, pass on this love of Jesus is so important because we also have that work to do. It is not in the water for everybody. Everybody does not know the story. And so looking at these first verses, what do we learn about the church? Again, the church is made up of this new gathering of people. And God is the one drawing them together. There's prayer involved. There's mutuality of support. Good work is being produced by their faith. All of those things are being built up. How is the faith and hope and love of the Thessalonians expressed? It's expressed in outward ways, in very practical ways, just authentic ways of being a community together. And again, I think Christianity has to become more practical. So often we can make it about a head exercise, but here it's about how does this impact people? How does it transform lives? What difference is it making in the here and now? And we say that with resurrection. Resurrection isn't something that just happened 2,000 years ago. Resurrection is an ongoing event in the lives of people as lives are being transformed by the love of Christ. So we pay attention to that. And all of our works are to be done out of great love. And the endurance comes from Jesus himself. If I ask you this question here in verse 4, what's involved in the Thessalonians becoming Christian? What did God do? What did Paul and his companions do? What did they do? It says there very clearly in verse 4, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he's chosen you. This is powerful. This wasn't their own idea, that the word found them, that God chose them. And that this gospel is not about words, but it's about the power of the Holy Spirit that's moved them. And there's conviction in that. Yes, the Holy Spirit has shown up in their life, and that's changed how they're living. And then Paul goes on to say, we're going to be imitators of the Lord in all that we say and do. And that you welcome the message in the midst of the suffering that you were living, but also in the joy that was given in the Holy Spirit. We need to hold those two tensions together. Life in faith, there will be suffering. In our world, there will be persecution. There will be challenge. And at the same time, the joy that comes from the heart and soul of a person. Here, Paul is reflecting that joy comes from the Holy Spirit. Again, you're not stirring up the joy. The joy is spilling out of you because the Holy Spirit that's at work in your life. And then we get to verses 9 and 10, and we can ask this question. What three verbs describe what the Thessalonians did when they embraced Christ? And how far did these words provide a summary of what happens to all of us when we become followers of Jesus? So what are the verbs there? There's a reception that they gave to the people who came to share the message. And then they tell how you turned to God from the idols that you had to serve the living and true God. So the attention went away from just their normal lived experience to saying, what's new? What is God up to in the world? How is God stirring us and moving us forward? And then you get to verse 10, where it says, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, who rescues us. So God is the one who's going to rescue. Just as God raised Jesus from the dead, God is going to do the same in the midst of our life and everything that we experience. So Paul is really stirring up the imagination and reminding folks again of the power of God at work in their lives. Now, faith, love, and hope are mentioned continually here by Paul. And of course, they appear elsewhere in the other letters. We got Romans 5, 1 Corinthians 13, Galatians 5, Ephesians 1, Colossians 1, 1 Peter 1. So Paul writes the same theme throughout to all of these beloved communities. Faith, hope, and love are central to the character of Christ and central to the character of the Christian community. And so in what ways does this capture the essence of your life? How are you experiencing faith, hope, and love into Christ? How is the Spirit leading you to grow more in that way? And this is where Paul and others before us would say, in our life, as we go throughout life, there's lifelong growth. There's a lifelong deepening. And what faith looked like 30 years ago or 20 years ago or 10 years ago or even 1 month ago will shape and look differently as you deepen into Christ. Your love that you've shared will deepen and begin to look differently. And the hope that you've carried and how you communicate hope is going to be continually transformed. That will be an ongoing work in your life. It can't stay the same. And so as we talk about faith, hope, and love, how are you deepening in that same good work? Now, Paul also describes how the gospel came to them there in verse 5. That was with the power of the Holy Spirit again. But what are the main elements of the gospel message? What does the Spirit testify to or help us to testify to? And again, this is that very simple proclamation. God sent Christ into the world for you. In Christ, he stretched out his arms on the cross, died, suffered at the hands of humanity, so that God could raise him again from the dead, the first fruits of the new creation, so that we can see that life and love are the outcomes of the cross, and that life and love will always win because God will not quit or tire or throw in the towel on humanity. God will keep coming after us. And if God is doing that for us and in our life, then how much more are we to do this for others? Not in a passive way, but in an active and busy way. And so we're called to live out our Christian faith and our Christian witness. And so what examples can you share from your experience or the experience of someone you know where faith and hope and love make a practical difference in the everyday sphere of work and home and elsewhere? What is the practical difference that those gifts make? And I want you this week to be thinking about your household, your place of work, out there and all that you give your life to, in your larger extended family throughout the world. What are the practical ways those gifts are bearing fruit? Now, here again in Thessalonians, early on, they imitated Paul, Silas, and Timothy, as well as Jesus, and in turn became models for others to imitate. What good models do you seek to imitate in your everyday life? And how far are you aware of providing a model for others? Well, this is a deepening question for how to live this out, right? We know role models make a difference. We know we often point to and look to a guide or to a shepherd, the shepherd Jesus, right? Showing us how to shepherd into community with others. But what good models do you have that you've sought to imitate, and who is maybe imitating you? Who's in your circle that is learning in the ways of faith, hope, and love because of how you live your life? I know we don't like to talk about ourselves and we don't like to point to ourselves as a model, but Paul, that was one point of his encouragement. Look to those who've gone before. Look to what we were able to do in these difficult times and replicate and do that again. Multiply that effort in the various communities in which you live. Paul would be really strong in that form of encouragement. And then the last part here, those last two verses, 9 and 10. According to those verses, turning and serving and waiting are prominent features of relying in Christ or becoming into Christ. And so what can those dimensions look like in our lives here in the 21st century, in year 2024, and here through the body of Christ called the church? Turning, serving, waiting. Well, all of those things are not passive. Those are active. It's not a leaning back on our heels, but it's a leaning forward or leaning in on our tiptoes into where God is taking us. But spend some time this week thinking about turning, serving, and waiting, and how those are prominent features of the Christian life, and how we maybe are called to do more of that. Well, as you spend your time in these first verses, may you give thanksgiving to God and thanksgiving to others in your life who continue to show you that the Holy Spirit is here, it's busy, it's active, and we can have great encouragement in one another for how it is that we can live out our faith in this busy, distracted, and often, what should we say about our world, messy world, really messy world. We have a lot going on, and we need God, and we need God's Holy Spirit to move us forward in mission and to live out our faith. And so God be with you on this day and always, and stay thirsty, my friends. See you next week.